You're listening pretty late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. So happy you're joining us. In studio with me is Brandon C. Price, the CEO and mastermind behind Vamp, a music, comedy, and drinking show every Friday and Saturday night at MCL. You know, I think that our guest on the line, Senator Tom Cullerton, would really enjoy that show. Senator, how are you doing?
I'm doing fabulous. How about yourself?
I'm well. As you heard the music, your intro music, Don't Bring Me Down. Don't bring me down, sir. Don't tell me. There's good things happening in the state of Illinois, aren't there?
Yes.
Yes. Okay, good.
Yes.
Congratulations on the override today. Yes. Go ahead. What was that?
And I will affirm your conclusion.
I appreciate that. So I caught some of the discussions that were happening over bills today, but I think the big one today was the override of the voter registration. Why did the governor give reasons for vetoing the bill that did pass in the spring for voter registration?
He did give some reasoning. However, the bill that passed in the spring passed with 50 votes in the Senate and over almost 90 votes in the House. So I'm not exactly sure I understood why he vetoed it. And, you know, that was part of the reason we took the bill up today, because it had such broad bipartisan support. When we passed it in May, it went through countless hearings. It will increase our voter participation. And this, as everyone sees, you know, voter apathy is one thing, but making sure that people are allowed to vote is really what we are based on for this country. So overriding the veto was a positive step, and now it'll go to the House for session right after Thanksgiving.
And this really, I think people need to understand it. This is not just, you know, trying to make it, yes, we want more people to vote, but it also modernizes the system in the state of Illinois.
Well, exactly. I mean, streamlining and making our government more efficient is a goal that we should all have. The governor has also brought forward a new Department of Innovation and Technology that is doing a lot of that as well in different departments. So this falls in line also with that initiative, even though it's not part of the Innovation and Technology initiative that is being set up. It does fall in line with making things more efficient, not having multiple agencies be responsible for things and trying to get all of them to talk together. This goes to one centralized point now.
So let me ask you this. So it sounds like that's really great for everyone, the mm-hmm. bill that passed. And you're saying that, you know, the governor's got this technology, you know, he's moving towards that direction too. So we don't know why specifically he just voted no on this or vetoed this.
Well, I'd probably have to pull up his entire veto to see all the reasons. I don't know if he wanted to delay. He had he said there could be a possibility for misrepresentation, and he cited a 2004 case of a gentleman from Kenya illegally registering to vote, and he cited that as one instance of why he would veto this whole bill. To cite an incident from 2004, long before there was even undocumented immigrant licenses, driver's licenses in this state, to me seemed a little bit out of sorts.
Yeah, just as a random layman voter, like I hear that you don't want me to vote, and then I don't want to vote for you.
Weird how that works.
I would, for me, the access to voting is a positive step forward. You have so many different groups involved with this. And like I said, you had people on both sides of the aisle in favor of this and moving towards this. It just seemed to me something that was pretty easy to vote yes on the override.
How often does that happen? Like, it just goes smoothly and everyone, like, looks around both houses of, you know, the Senate and the House and go, well, this was really easy today.
I get the sense today, Senator.
It's never really easy.
Right.
Obviously depends on the bill. You know, there are some bills that are pretty easy that have broad bipartisan support. I passed a bill last session that had to do with, canine units for officers being allowed to go with the officers after they retired. Guess what? That one sailed through committee pretty easily and went on the floor pretty easily. governor had a signing ceremony with the state police. That was a pretty easy one. When you start talking about things that are new to people, automatic voter registration, we are probably now the fifth state to do that. And, you know, when some people have said, well, that sounds like a partisan deal, Alaska is the most recent to do it. And I think I would be remiss if I didn't say that Alaska was probably one of the most red states out there. So you have blue states and red states passing this and looking to make this more efficient as a process.
Are there times when, because I get the sense when I'm watching, and probably more so in the House of Representatives, I would say there's a lot more fireworks over there. Not fireworks. It's, I think people get a little testy. But
fireworks would be a good one.
Yes. but I sense a little more tension on bills that perhaps didn't rise a level of the snarkiness that I saw today. Would that be an accurate description of the environment?
Well, I would say in the House, the interesting thing about the House is both microphones can be going during a debate at the same time, whereas in the Senate, somebody states a point, and then the counterpoint or whoever the bill sponsor is gets to have a rebuttal, and there is an actual back and forth. In the House, if both microphones are open while people are discussing, they can talk over each other. It gets a little bit more hectic.
Is it kind of like fraternal, like you guys in the Senate are like kind of against the House and there's like a softball league?
Well, when I first got down there, they said, well, the House is the frat house and the Senate is the retirement home. based on the way people act and the way people talk to each other and sort of the demeanor going on.
I did notice a little shuffleboard going on in the back of the Senate.
We were all playing pinochle.
Yeah.
Right.
It was all good. Senator Culligan joins us on the line. Do you mind holding on so we can do one more segment before midnight?
Oh, come on. No, of course I'll hold on. That's fine.
I appreciate that. We are talking to Senator Tom Cullerton of the 23rd Senate District in Illinois. More after this on 720 WGN. Oh, join us, too, if you want. 312-981-7200. Call or text. You are listening pretty late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. Joining me in studio is one of our favorites on the show, and we're welcoming him back after a little bit of hiatus, Brandon C. Price. You had to come down to Springfield with me sometime because if there's one thing I enjoy doing, it's watching the process, but also hanging out with some of our legislators and hearing what's going on. And Senator Tom Cullerton joins us on the line. He serves the 23rd Senate District in Illinois. And, you know, I wanted to tell you, I met two men on the way home, a couple of guys who had come down to Springfield to testify for the Senator Lightford had introduced a bill this morning, or at least there was a hearing for it, and they had been there to testify. It was for the hours that a caregiver for the disabled can serve. Is that correct? Because there was a little bit of back and forth on that one as well, and I believe
for nursing patients.
For nursing patients,
and the amount of hours. Look, the patient itself, or I guess in the bill it would be called the consumer,
right,
has a certain amount of hours allotted to them monthly where they can utilize a caregiver. And, you know, there are certain people in the administration who'd like to change the way that's checked, justified, and utilized. And Senator Lightford wanted to make sure that it was, if the consumer is allowed to have X amount of hours, the consumer gets to choose the hours, not the administration.
And Senator Nybo, in all of his wisdom, was saying, why don't we just wait? And there are individuals who can't wait, who really do need these services. So Senator Nybo, not quite sure, can wrap his mind around what it's like to, there are individuals who have no mobility whatsoever. And there are other individuals who just severely need help throughout the course of a day.
And like they're, you know, there are people that can't move, and so their families are coming in from so far, like thousands of miles away, to take turns on the weekends. And if you can't get coverage for somebody for that Saturday morning, and that's the only time you have to take care of these bills, to work on the trust, work on the estate, like these things mm-hmm. that happen, it's nonsense that you should not be able to decide that.
And I want to thank Larry Biondi, who I met. He's an advocacy coordinator, and also Clark, who was traveling with him as well. They both were down there to testify. So that it's kind of the arguments like that, and let's call them discussions. Is that a better way to classify it, Senator?
Discussions is always a great way to put it.
But that was one of those things where, I mean, you saw me standing. I'm like, there are ones I just want to jump over the railing of the press box. And I know it's, you were saying I wasn't supposed to laugh because I'm the press, but I get the.
Yes. you are, you know, it's.
I'm still learning.
When you see a lot of the back and forth, you know, sometimes it's a lot of this gets hashed out in committee, and there are certain times on the floor people do those things for posturing and making themselves look good and getting their clips in or getting their you know, scent in. And Senator Naibo is now in a new role. He is the, I don't want to say floor leader, but I believe he is now the spokesman.
The bulldog.
So it's kind of his role since Senator Murphy resigned to get up and speak. So you'll probably hear him a lot more in the upcoming session.
I think my favorite moment was when Senator Hain said we're not going to wait because we don't have faith in the department to get it done right.
Well, not only did he say that, but he also said it, you know, part of the role of being a legislator is not just waiting for others to do things, but to actually legislate
right.
and get things accomplished. So part of your role to be the legislator is not just to oversee administration, but to actually enact rules and act laws and legislation.
I don't know. That sounds fishy.
Fabulous.
What before we let you go, I want to learn a little bit more about you. You grew up in Evanston?
So, yes, Rogers Park and Evanston. I was in Rogers Park for till probably 9 years old, and then moved into Evanston. I attended St. Athanasius K-8 in Evanston. My mom would drive me in every day to go to St. Athanasius, and then I ended up going to Loyola Academy.
Oh, there are quite a few in the House and in the Senate who went to Loyola Academy. I'm fascinated by that, but we'll talk about that some other time when you're in studio. I know that Leader Lou Lang wants to have a panel, and hopefully we can get a bunch of you in studio to have a nice discussion with our listeners.
I don't know. Lou Lang's a little trouble. No, I'm kidding. I like Lou Lang.
So are you, sir.
He's a very good guy.
Well, I look forward to seeing you when we're back in session, and have a great Thanksgiving, sir.
You do the same, and thank you very much. Anytime you need me, just holler.
All right, I will. You can count on it. That's Senator Tom Cullerton. You can go to senatortomcullerton.com to find out more about the 23rd Senate District. More after this on 720 WGN.